Okay, so tonight's share is going to be about buses. We're going to see very soon the translation of the word buses, but the topic of buses, really what it means is that you have an item which is supporting mukta. And we're going to see very soon that the item which supports the mukta takes onto itself the actual halacha of the mukta itself. So let's see where this begins. This begins on the Daf Mem Vav. This Amud came up not too long ago, about a month ago in Daf Yomi. And this was really in the heart of the machlokas, the dispute between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda with regard to a ner, to a flame, to a candle on Shabbos. And ultimately we found a case where Reb Shimon agreed that it would be prohibited to move the candle. And the Gemara is trying to figure out, what's the logic here? Why is it that Reb Shimon is going to ultimately agree to the concept of the muktzah? Just give me one second. Why is it that Reb Shimon is going to agree that the candle is going to be muktzah? What's going to be the difference? So the Gemara says as follows. Let's start in source number one. Rami lei Abaya l'Rav Yosef. Abaya asked a stira to Rav Yosef. Mi amar Rav Shimon kavsa mutar l'taltala. Is it true that Rav Shimon said that kavsa, that if the flame goes out, mutar l'taltala, it would be permissible to carry the flame? And kavsa in lo kavsa lo, that it's only permissible to move the candle once the flame goes out, but while the candle is actually still lit, it's still kindled, there's still a fire there, it would be prohibited according to Reb Shimon. My taima, what would be the reason for this? Why is it that Reb Shimon would agree that it's prohibited to move a candle at the time that the flame is still lit? The Gemara says, Duma bahadi denakit la kavsa. Are you concerned that while you're moving it, the flame is going to go out? But the Gemara says that can't be. Hashamina leiler of Shimon de Amar davar shei meskaven mutter. We know Rav Shimon is the one who is the author of the opinion that says that if an act on Shabbos takes place inadvertently, but not just inadvertently, I was doing one thing which was absolutely permissible, and a byproduct of that action was that something else happened by mistake. So in other words, I'm moving a candle which is permissible. It's not my intention at all to put out the candle, but it may happen. Rav Shimon says, there's no problem. That's called a davar shei meskaven. I'm doing a permissible act, and an unintended result, which is prohibited, comes out, says Rav Shimon, that's permissible. So that would be this case. It's permissible, according to Rav Shimon, to move a candle on Shabbos. It's prohibited, according to everybody, to put out a candle on Shabbos. But Rav Shimon says, it's not my intention to put it out. I'm simply moving it, and that's permissible. So according to Rav Shimon, it should be perfectly permissible to move a candle on Shabbos. So what would be the logic for it? Ella Amarava, I'm skipping a couple lines in the Gemara, but ultimately the Gemara says, Ella Amarava, Hanach Lener, leave Ner alone, because Shemen Upsila, Hayal Denasa Basas Ladavra Aser. When it comes to a Ner, you have oil in there, and you have a wick in there. In those cases, those things all become a basis. They become a stand. They become a supporter for a davar ha'asur. What's that? That's the shalheves. You have a shalheves, which is a flame. A shalheves is mukta. It's actually, there's actually a very interesting discussion amongst the poskim why a shalheves, why a flame is mukta, under which category does it fall. But that's not a discussion for tonight. Let's just take it for granted that a flame is mukta. So says the Gemara, since your flame is supported by the wick and by the oil and by the ner, by the candle, by the lamp, therefore, it's going to be prohibited to move the candle while the flame is lit, because the flame, the shalheves, is muktzah, so everything that's supporting it is a basis, is a supporter to a davar ha'asr. So the Gemara herein goes ahead and is mechadesh. It teaches us a new halacha called basis. When you have a support system for something which is muktzah, the support system becomes prohibited as well. That's what the Gemara says, just to translate the word basis. In source number two, Rashi, if you see there, it is set in the second Dibur HaMaskel, the Dibur HaMaskel basis is a moshav. It is a a seat or a stand, eskano, when the Torah uses the word eskano, netargaminan, it is translated as basise, it stands. So the word basis means a support system. And Rashi explains in the previous Rashi, shakli tafala shalheves b'odabo. Rashi gives us an insight into the concept of basis, and he explains as follows. When something is supporting another thing, we view the support system as secondary to the item that it's supporting. So if you have a shalheves, that's the point in your lamp, because you want the flame. So everything that's there to serve the flame, to provide, to facilitate the flame, becomes secondary to the flame. So if the flame is muktzah, everything that's there to provide fuel to the flame is going to become secondary to it. Which is the same thing when it comes to a table. You have a table. The table itself is not muktzah. But when the table is supporting a davar ha-muktzah, it's supporting something which is prohibited to be transported on Shabbos, so now the table becomes secondary to what's on it. So if you have a bunch of items on a table, and all those items are muktzah, it would stand to reason that the table now becomes a support system for all those items, and ultimately takes on a halacha as a basis l'davar ha'asar, because the table is ultimately supporting the davar ha'asar. It is secondary to the davar ha'asar, and therefore it assumes the halachic status of the davar ha'asar. Okay, that's the idea of basis. That's where the Gemara teaches it to us when it comes to the concept of Reb Shimon telling you you cannot move a flame, a candle, to the time that the flame is still lit. Another example of this is in source number 4 is in Shabbos and Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis 51a. The Gemara talks about a case where a person did hatmana. A person insulated his food on Shabbos. Now, he happened to have done something pretty silly, and he insulated it in something which was muktzah. He used an item which is muktzah, which is prohibited to be used on Shabbos, and he used that as his insulation. So the Gemara says, Taman v'kisa b'davar she'ena nitl v'Shabbos. Person insulated or covered his pot with something that cannot be moved on Shabbos. Oh, shetaman b'davar anitl b'Shabbos. The keys to b'davar she'eno nitl. He used something which is permissible to be moved on Shabbos to insulate it, but he covered it with something which is mukta. What's the halacha? Im haya megula miktsasa notel l'machzer, v'im lavino notel l'machzer. If it was open a little bit, then he could ultimately take it out, but if not, he can't open it. Rashi explains, because ultimately it becomes a basis. Now this opens us up to an interesting discussion. What happens if a person puts something on a table and that he takes a davar ha-muktzah, he takes something which is muktzah, it's prohibited to be moved around on Shabbos, and he puts it on top of a table or on top of his pot, but his intention is only to leave it there for an hour or two on Shabbos. He doesn't want it to be there the entire Shabbos. What's the halacha? So we have to remember, we discussed a while ago the concept of migud iskatzoy lebein hashmashos iskatzoy lekuli yoma. Since once an item becomes muktzah during bein hashmashos, that time period is what sets its halachic status for the whole Shabbos. So if during bein hashmashos something was muktzah, it remains muktzah the entire Shabbos. So in this case, you have a pot. On top of the pot, you have a davar ha-muktzah. Now, your question becomes, I only wanted that cover to be on the pot for an hour or two into Shabbos. But the cover was on the entire Bein HaShemashos, and then I somehow shake it off on Shabbos. Does the pot remain a basis the entire Shabbos? Or perhaps it doesn't. Rashi is very clear in source number 5. I don't want to get into this whole discussion, but Rashi is discussing a problem which seems to be a stira, a contradiction to this case. And Rashi says, no, don't worry about that case. Because ha'ukimta, we skipped something very, very important in source number 3. Sorry, we have to go back for this because otherwise we won't understand the Rashi. Rashi in source number 3, the Gemara, in source number 3, Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf Hey, Amud Beis, Pesach Shabbos, on page 125b, the Gemara tells us a very, very important rule when it comes to buses. And that is, an item only becomes a buses, a support system, and halachically assumes the status of the muktzah if you intentionally put it there. But if you forgot the item there, or you mistakenly placed it there, then the item does not become a buses l'davar aser. So, for example, I have a table, and on Erev Shabbos, I am cleaning up, and I take, a cell phone. And I would like to put it away before Shabbos, and then someone knocks on the door. I take the cell phone, put it down on the table, answer the door, and then I, deal with the person who's at the door, and I forget that the cell phone was on the table. Now comes Shabbos, and I say, oh no, I left my cell phone on the table. Now my table becomes muktzah. I can't move the table, but I would like to move the table because I need it on Shabbos. The halacha is, it's not a problem. You could do nior. We didn't learn tiltum notzad yet. You could ultimately get the item off of the table, and the table does not become muktzah because it was a shocheach. It was forgotten there. The idea of buses, which fits very much with the logic. If I set something up to support muktzah, so then it becomes tafel, becomes secondary to the muktzah. But if I forgot it there, I never wanted this item to support the muktzah. It's not supposed to be supporting the muktzah. And therefore, when I discover it, I can take it off. So that's what happens in this case. Rashi ultimately says, there's a difference between this case, which is the case of muktzah placed on top of a pot, and another case, which we're not going to be dealing with right now, because that case was a shocheach. I forgot it there. But this case, where I covered it, intentionally with something which was muktzah, I intentionally used a davar muktzah to cover the pot, says Rashi, becomes muktzah. Tosfos in source number 6, he says, not like that. In the last line, Valkein Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Delo Chashiv Kimeiniach, Kiven Shedaito Litlo B'Shabbos. Tosfos is mechadish to us something very, very important. Tosfos says to us that if I put an item which is muktzah on top of a pot, or on top of a table, or on top of anything that I have, but my intention was that the item will be removed during Shabbos, says Tosfos, that's not a basis. That's not a basis. A basis is only a case when it's supposed to be there for as long as the item lasts, or the entire Shabbos. Now, according to Rashi, what Rashi teaches us is that the concept of buses assumes the exact same halachos as every other muktzah. So, for example, we have the concept of Moser Hashem and Shebaner, the leftover oil in a candle. During Ben Hashmashos, if I would take the oil out of the lamp, I would be causing the lamp to go out earlier. It's an isser to do that. It's an isser of kiboy to do that. So, therefore, it's forbidden to do that. So therefore, the entire Shabbos, that oil remains aser. It's muktzah machmas iser. If I have a stone, which has no purpose, during Ben Hashmashos, it's outside, it has no purpose. And then, on Shabbos, I decide I want to use it. You can't use it, because during Ben Hashmashos, it was not roi, it was not muchan to be used. Similarly, says Rashi, if I have a table, and on the table is an item that I placed there, and that item is muktzah, and that item remains there the entire Ben Hashmashos, the item remains muktzah, the table remains muktzah the entire Shabbos. Tosfos says, if I had in mind that the item would be taken off of the table at some point during Shabbos, that does not assume the halachic status of the muktzah and does not become a basas l'davar aser and becomes mutter. Which is a very, very practical nafkamina, a very practical machlokas with tremendous ramifications with regard to the halacha of basas. If I have in mind for the item to be taken off, does it remain muktzah or not? Source number 7 in Shulchan Aruch, this is where the halacha of basis is codified, in Simin Shintes, if Talit Shachach Evan al Piachavas, a person left a stone on top of a jug or a barrel, Omos al Akar, or he left money on top of a pillow, Mata Hachavas al Tzidav ha-Evan ofelas, since he forgot it there, it was not placed there intentionally, with intent for it to remain there. It was forgotten there. So what do? You turn the chavis to the side, allow the stone to fall off, Uminayar hakarva mos noflim, you could shake the pillow and the money will fall off, and the pillow or the jug of wine is permissible to be used on Shabbos. However, v'hinicham alea midaito, he put the stone on top of the jug because he wants it there. You know, say he has a cover on top of his jug of wine, and it's not fit so securely on top. He wants it to be held down and weighted in place, so he puts a stone there to keep it closed. Now the stone is a stone, it's muktzah. Aldash sheyisharu sham beknisas haShabbos, says the Tosfos. He wanted it to be there as Shabbos comes in. Asur lahatos ulanayar. He's not allowed to move the jug because the jug becomes muktzah. Then the Shulchan Aruch goes ahead and quotes the opinion of Tosfos. V'yesh omrim da'afilu hinicham sham aldash sheyisharu sham beknisas haShabbos kedei sheyitlam haShabbos mutzah lahatos ulanayar haShabbos lo asur al b'maniach aldash sheyisharu sham kol haShabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch uses the concept of stam v'yesh. The stam, the simple reading of Shulchan Aruch says, even if you had in mind only for it to be there for the at the onset of Shabbos, that's enough that the jug becomes a basis, becomes a support system for the muktzah, and thereby assumes the halachic status of the muktzah for the entire Shabbos. V'yesh omrim, says the Shulchan Aruch, which is the opinion of Tosfos, it does not become a basis unless you had in mind for it to be there the entire Shabbos. What's the halacha when we have a stam v'yesh? What's the halacha when you have a stam v'yesh in Shulchan Aruch? So this, remember this rule. Whenever you see in Shulchan Aruch a stam halacha and then v'yesh omrim differently, generally speaking, the halacha is the Shulchan Aruch wants you to rule under all normal circumstances like the stam. However, in the case of a tzorech, when there's a tzorech, you can ultimately be mekel. Okay, so under normal circumstances, the person will not be able to mekel, be able to be mekel. He cannot be lenient, but in a case where he needs the item, so he needs the jug for Kiddush. He doesn't have any other wine. He needs to bring this jug of wine to his table for Kiddush. And if not, he won't be able to have wine for Kiddush. So we're not going to say that you don't move the jug, because according to the opinion of Tosfos, you can be lenient in this case because he did not have a mind for it to be there the entire Shabbos. And that would be fine. Okay. Moving on to the next point. In source number 9, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a very, very interesting opinion from the Magen Avraham. And it goes as follows. And we need to remember, if you place an item intentionally on a table, and you want it to be there, the table becomes a basis. It stays there throughout Bein HaShemashos, the onset of Shabbos, the table is a basis for the whole Shabbos. What happens in a case where I put something somewhere, but not because I wanted it to be there, And I don't necessarily want it to be there? What's a classic example? You open up your drawer, and your drawer has a lot of different items in it, and you just place your cell phone inside the drawer. Now, underneath the drawer, you have all kinds of things which are not muktzah, and they're permissible to be used on Shabbos. But when it turns out that now you open the drawer on Shabbos, an item which you need on Shabbos, say it's a book, or it's a paper, or it's just a regular item. You just need that item on Shabbos. It's a knife, it's silverware, whatever it might be. You see that item now is supporting your muktzah. So your cell phone, let's say, is on top of a book. You like to read the book on Shabbos. Now you start thinking, hold on. This book is supporting my muktzah. Was it left there by mistake? No. I intentionally on Shabbos opened the drawer and put my cell phone inside this drawer because that's where I wanted to keep it for the whole Shabbos. But did I want the cell phone to be on top of the book? Not necessarily, but I intentionally put it there. How do we view that? Is that considered a case of shachach, by mistake I put it there, I left it there by mistake, or is that considered meniach, that I intentionally placed it on top of the book, and I wanted it to be on the book? So let's see in source number 9 of the Mishnah Berurah. This is Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Yuches, in Simen Shintes. V'hinei, Biker Din Basis. When it comes to the essence of the din of basis, Masik HaMagen Avram, the Magen Avram explains to us, Dlo Mikri Basis, it's not considered a basis, Elam ken hiniach alav davar hamukta bishvil sheyis yashev alav bitov. It's only considered a basis if I placed the item there and I wanted it to be placed there. It should. I had in mind that it should comfortably sit in that place. But stuff that I just happened to place somewhere. Kemo shiragilim lahasim betevas chafetzim elu al elu. Like it's normal. You take a box, you have a lot of different items, you put them inside the box. Why do you do that? You don't have enough room on the bottom of the drawer to put everything. Not everything gets its own space in the drawer. Not everything can have a designated area in the drawer. Some things just end up getting dumped into the drawer. So says the Magen Avraham, just because you did that doesn't mean that you wanted the cell phone on top of the book more than you wanted the book on top of the cell phone. You just wanted both items to be inside the drawer. Says the Magen Avraham, Ki haygavna lo chashiv meniach ela shocheach. Such a circumstance is considered a shocheach. It's not considered that you placed it there. Umutter l'talta chefetz ha-mutter achar she'niaru ha-muktzum yalav. So very practical cases can happen all the time. Person has a book inside a drawer. He opens the drawer before Shabbos. He takes his cell phone. He puts it inside the drawer. It goes on top of the book. Now it comes Shabbos. He pulls open the drawer. And he would like to read the book. His cell phone's on top of the book, says the Magen Avraham. Pick up one side of the book. Dump the cell phone off into the drawer. And you have no problem. You could read the book. How do we rule? Says the Mishnah Berurah of Yesh Machmirim B'chalzeh. There are opinions which are machmir, says the Mishnah Berurah, b'makom hatzorech nira d'yesh lahakel d'kama achronu sovan kavasi d'Magen Avraham. Says the Mishnah Berurah, one can certainly rely on the Magen Avraham in a makom tzorech when he needs it. So again, this is also very important to focus on some of the klalim, some of the general rules when reading a Mishnah Berurah. He quotes an opinion, he spends a lot of time going through the opinion, and he seems to dedicate a lot of space to this opinion, and he throws in a v'yesh machmirin afterwards. What does the Mishnah Berurah want you to do? So in such a case, the Masorah that I have is, the Mishnah Berurah is telling you, the halacha is like the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is correct. In order for an item to become a basis, it needs to be that you intentionally placed the item on top of the davar hamutar. If you, by happenstance, placed it there, that's not considered a basis. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, you should just know this opinion, although I believe it to be correct, is not accepted by everybody. So therefore, try to avoid such a circumstance. But if you need the item, you can certainly rely on the opinion of the Magen Avraham. Okay, so that's number one. So to recap really quickly. Number one, a support system for mukta becomes muktzah. It assumes the halachic status of the muktzah. Why? Because whenever something is supporting another thing, it becomes secondary to that item. That's number one. Number two, that's only true if I placed it there with kavana for it to be there. I wanted the muktzah to be on top of the davar hamutar. If I didn't want it to be there, I forgot it there, it was placed there by mistake, or I forgot it there, it does not become a basis. What is considered by mistake, what's considered intentionally, that's when I specifically want it to be on top of that item. Classic example for that would be when I put my candles on my Shabbos table. I want the candles on the Shabbos table because that's where they belong. So I want the candles on the Shabbos table. However, if I just simply place an item inside my drawer and it by happenstance falls out on top of the book, that's not considered a miniach. What happens if I place an item on top of a davar hamutar and I don't want it to be there the whole Shabbos? Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, one should be machmir if possible. Another caveat to the halacha of basis, which is on page number 2, source number 10. This is only true when the support system is only supporting muktzah. But if it's supporting both muktzah and items that are not muktzah, It depends which one is more chashiv. Let's see, source number 10. Kli sheyesh alav davar ha'asar vidavar ha'mutar. You have a keli, let's call it a table, or let's call it a chair, or anything like that, which has on top of it a davar ha'asar and a davar ha'mutar. It has both. Mutar l'taltalo, you're allowed to move it. Kigon, machta a shovel, sheyesh alav mibaod yom efer, shemutar l'taltalo l'chasas barok. It has ash on it, which you plan to use to cover saliva. Oh, tzoa, we live again in a very affluent society where we don't think about this, but back in the day, they had to actually figure out how to cover their excrement. So they had dirt, which was designated before Shabbos, and that dirt was not muktzah. So now you have a shovel that has that dirt on it. It's a large shovel. It also has little twigs, which are muktzah. Shehem asurim betiltal. So what's the halacha? Mutter letaltal. Machta kemoshehi, you're allowed to move the shovel, and explains the Shulchan Aruch ukegon. It's talking about a case shadavar hamutar chashav midavar aser. The item which is mutter is more valuable than the item which is aser. Aval imdavar haaser chashav yoser midavar hamutar batal etzlo v'davar v'aser lo taltalo. Again, simple logic. I have a shovel. The shovel has dirt on it. This dirt is very valuable. I need it to cover over garbage, so then it's very valuable for me. The twigs are not very valuable. Therefore, it's the halacha, the shovel is not muktzah because it's there to support the dirt, which is not muktzah. However, if it would be the opposite, if you would have something which is extremely valuable, I don't know, say silver candlesticks, and it's on top of an item which is mutter, it's on the table, and then you also have something very inexpensive on the table, which is not very valuable. The halacha is, the table becomes a basis to the davar asr because the davar asr is more valuable. Okay. Now, it's important to note that people, in order to get away from the problem of a table becoming a basis to your candles, they place an item on the table before Shabbos, which is mutter. What's the classic example? You put your challah on the table before Shabbos. So you have a candle on the table, which is muktzah. And you also have your challah on the table, which is not muktzah. What's more valuable? Now, it's possible that the candlesticks are more valuable, but that doesn't make a difference because the actual cost price of the item is not what we're discussing. We're talking about its usefulness. Now, on Shabbos, my candles are useful, but my Lecha Mishnah is certainly just as useful or even more useful than the candles. So therefore, the bread is going to be a davar hamutter. So your table becomes a basas to davar ha'asar, ula davar hamutter. The table is not mukta, so you're allowed to move the table on Shabbos. What happens if I put an item which is completely, completely unrelated to the davar hamukta? I put jewelry on the table. So this is something which is really, at least in my opinion, it seems like it comes from the Mishnah Berurah in source number 13, that it's not going to help you. Because the jewelry doesn't belong on the table. And when the item, which is more chashiv, doesn't belong there, it's just there, placed there as a trick, it's not necessarily going to work. So just keep that in mind. So we're running short on time, so I'm going to skip the next topic, which is Basas Be'emtza Shabbos. But just very quickly, I'm just going to, it highlights what we mentioned earlier, and that is, a basis becomes a basis if at the beginning of Shabbos it was supporting muktzah, and it supported that muktzah throughout Bein Hashmashos. But if you place the item on the table on Shabbos, how does that happen? I don't know. A child put it there, the cleaning lady put it there, a non-Jew put it there, it was placed there by mistake. Then the table does not become a basis. You can shake the table or the item, the chair, whatever it is, and allow that item to fall off. And it will be permissible again to move the table or move the chair or whatever that item is. Ultimately, obviously, it seems to be, it's a machlokas, but if you'll see that the Mishnah Berurah seems to rule that it does not become a basis in the middle of Shabbos, that's that piece that we skipped. One more point, which I think is very important to highlight. How about a support system to a support system which is supporting muktzah? So in other words, how many levels does this go? I have a table which has mukta on it, the table becomes a basis. What happens if I have a box on a table, and on top of that box is mukta? Or what happens if I have a drawer in a desk, the drawer has mukta in it? Is the desk now mukta? Can I move the desk? So this is a concept called basis libasis. And from the Chai Adam here in source 20, which is quoted, which is also, it's not quoted in the Ramah, but the Ramah says the same thing. He writes, he seems to write very clearly, you don't go two steps. We'll just skip to source 21 in the Ramah. Let's look at this case. The chain be kiss ha tofor bebeged. You have a kiss, a wallet, which is sewn onto a beged. Hayo ve ikara beged omid lilbosh. The beged is designated to be worn. It's a pair of pants. Imhotzi amos misham mutra lilbosh a beged. If you take the money out of that wallet that's attached to the pants, it's permissible to wear the pants. Why? Da kiss batel etzlo. The main function of this item is that it's clothing. Avol im shachach bomos. If you forgot money there, mutter l'taltel abeged, you can still move the beged. Why? De lo amrinin de kol abeged nasa basas the maos. Hayol v'ena maos al ikar abeged. Avol ein lilov shob Shabbos. You can't wear it on Shabbos. Why? De chashinin shem yetzibo. It's a different halacha. So now, this is a halacha which is a little bit difficult to understand, but the way I understand it is as follows. There are two different types of pockets. You have a shirt pocket. A shirt pocket is just a piece of cloth material which is sewn onto the outside of the beged. If you were to put money inside that pocket, then your actual shirt is supporting the money. The shirt becomes a basis to your money. You cannot wear that shirt on Shabbos, even if you dump the money out, because when Shabbos came in, that shirt was holding onto the money. But let's say you have a pant pocket, which ultimately, you have a fully functional pair of pants, but you sewed into that pair of pants a pocket. So now, the money is sitting inside that pocket. Are you going to say the entire pair of pants becomes a basis to the money? Or perhaps, that pocket now becomes a basis to the money? And the pants becomes a basis to that pocket. And therefore, it's two steps removed. And you could still wear the pants. So, what's the halacha if someone finds money in his pocket on Shabbos? So the halacha would be as follows. If it's a shirt pocket, so he has a problem. He can't wear the shirt on Shabbos. Because he put the money in that pocket. He placed it in the pocket. He wanted it to be in that pocket. It's considered a miniach. Even if he dumps the money out, the shirt still is going to be muktzah. However, if he has a pocket, which is an item, it's suitable to hold money by itself. It's just sewn onto the pants. So what happens is, the pocket becomes a basis. Now if he dumps the money out, he can do that. He can dump the money out. In such a case, it will be permissible for him to wear the pants on Shabbos. If he can't get the money out, he can still wear it on Shabbos. He just can't put his hand into the pocket, number one. And he can't, and it's also, he has to be worried not to walk anywhere where there's no air because he might carry it. With the last, final halacha I want to put in here is a very important point. The Prima Gadim, in source 22, writes, let's say the item that you placed on top of your table or on top of your chair, or whatever item it is a klishim lachta l'isser. Last week we introduced the concept of klishim lachta l'isser, which is different than every other mukta, because it actually is a functional item. It's a keli. The halacha is, with that keli, you're allowed to use it, letzorach gufo, for the actual function of that item, or letzorach makomo if it's in your way. Says the Prima Gadim, vim klishim lachta l'isser munach alav, if the muktza that we're talking about on top of the table is a klisha malachto l'isser. In other words, it's a keli. It's a functional keli, but its primary function is asur on Shabbos. Tzorach iyan imhavi basis. It's not clear whether the table becomes a basis to it. Why? Because the tzorach gufo mekamo shari. He's saying something very important. We know that there are different halachas with regard to different kinds of muktza. Every kind of mukta has its own set of halachas. Klish malach del isar, you're allowed to move it if it's in your way, and you're allowed to use it if you find a permissible function for that item. So now, if I have a hammer on my table, so what the halacha is, the table now assumes the halachic status of the hammer. Now, what's the halacha of the hammer? If I need it for a permissible function, I can use it. If I need it to be moved out of my way, I can move it. So says the Prima Gaudam, logic would dictate to you that if I need this table for a permissible function, just like I can use the muktza for a permissible function, I could use the table for a permissible function. The table's not going to be more muktza than the item on top of it. Therefore, it seems that the Prima Gaudam is saying you can be makel. So the whole halacha of basis really is that the support system for the muktza assumes the halachic status of the muktza. Whatever that muktza is, if it's muktza machmas gufo, it has the halachas of muktza machmas gufo. If it's muktza machmas chesaron kis, which is the most strict form of muktza, so you can't do anything with that table. However, if it's only muktza because it's a klisha malach del eser, says the Prima Gaudam, logic would dictate to you that the table assume the halachic status of the muktza, and just like the muktza can be repurposed for a permissible function, so too that would be the halacha with the table. So a very quick recap. Number one, a person intentionally places an item on top, and that item is muktza. Person places a muktza item on top of a table or any other davar hamutter. The davar hamutter becomes secondary to the davar hamukta and becomes forbidden to use the davar hamutter. If it was left there by mistake, it's not mukta. You just have to shake it off, and then you can use the item which is mutter. If the support system is supporting both mutter and usser, as long as the mutter is more valuable, then it does not become a basis. It has to be there throughout the entire Bein HaShemashos. And we don't go two levels in basis. In other words, a support to a support which is supporting muktza, we're not going to make the bottom item into muktza. And the last thing is, the halacha of the basis is exactly the same as the muktza. So if the muktza has all types of permissible fashions to use it, the same thing would be true to the basis. We'll stop here. Have a wonderful night.